Monday night. This is the Paul Revere Show. This is attorney Mark Thompson. I'm here on the Devil's Radio, the Shaw, folks, the Shaw, 540 AM, 101 or 92.7 FM every Monday night. Call in number 844-967-2789. So, hey, folks, April 15th, 1865, the day President Abraham Lincoln died. 157 years later, April 15th, 2022, the Wisconsin Supreme Court ruled and approved Republican-drawn state legislative maps. Maps that about a month ago, they hadn't adopted. Maps that completely changed the nature of elections in Wisconsin, more likely than not for the next 10 years. In the New York Times yesterday, Sunday, April 17th, 2022, the headline is Wisconsin Supreme Court approves Republican-drawn state legislative maps. And they have a quote by Sachin Chheda, in quotes, without any legal basis or precedent and ignoring a decision they made just a month ago, the Wisconsin Supreme Court is showing its true colors, political gain over judicial fairness. That quote, as I said, was by Sachin Chheda, the director of the State Fair Elections Project. And he, folks, is our guest tonight for this whole show to talk about how we got here. Good evening, Mr. Chheda.
Good evening, Mark. Thanks for having me on tonight.
I can barely hear you.
Okay, is that better?
Much better. I'm hoping that's my production staff. My apologies, Sachin.
No problem. Glad to be here.
Well, so I really want to go through the history of this decision and get to the roots of, you know, your conclusion that we are at a point where our court chose political gain over judicial fairness. You know, and this is a complicated story. A lot of people really don't know, but this story really started in 2010 with the census. And I'd like to have you sort of just go through from the beginning. What happened in 2010 with the census? And then how did the maps get drawn in 2011? And let's spend this first section really talking about the history, because I think so many people, because this is an event that happens every 10 years, so many people really don't remember or don't pay attention to the nuances. But we're going to be locked into more gerrymandered maps for the next 10 years than we did the last 10. So this is like Groundhog's Day on steroids. So I'm talking a little bit too much. Tell me what happened in 2010 and how do we sort of get here?
So, Mark, I'm really happy to do that. Let me say one thing at the top and we'll come back to it later, which is that I don't think that we are necessarily locked into these new, more rigged maps for another 10 years. It will take some fight, and we can talk about what we need to do to try to reverse some of this trend. But to answer your question, to go back to 2010, I mean, you know, look, Wisconsin is a purple state. And what that means is sometimes we vote for Democrats and sometimes we vote for Republicans. The margins are often very close in presidential races, in legislative races, and in other statewide races. The governor's race in 2018 was very close. And simply put, what happened in 2010 was a reaction to what happened in 2006 and 2008, which was Democratic ascendancy. And so in 2006, Democrats won a governor's race and reelected Jim Doyle. We picked up a lot of seats in the assembly. We moved the dial in the Senate. And then in 2008, Barack Obama won a huge victory in Wisconsin, and Democrats kind of took full control of state government, both houses of the legislature and the governor's office, and also did the same thing at the national level, to control of both houses of Congress and the presidency. And so what happened naturally, and what would happen naturally in a 50-50 state like ours, is there was a reaction. And so the Republicans in 2010 had a really good year, which wasn't really that different than the Democrats having a really good year in 2008. But the one difference was that 2010 was a census year. And what that means is, after you conduct the census in the year ending in zero, the next year, the year ending in one, you redraw all of the legislative district lines and the congressional lines, and you do that so that you can equalize the population and account for the changes in population and distribution of the population that's taken place all over the state. And this happens everywhere in the country. And because the Republicans had that full control of the process, of the redrawing process, which was the first time one party had control of the entire redrawing process in modern Wisconsin history, they rigged the maps. And they did it in such a way that, you know, they used a lot of technology, they used sophisticated computers, they had high-paid consultants. And the result of that was, in the following 10 years, from 2012 to 2020, some of the years the Republicans won the vote, some of the years Democrats won the vote, some of the years it was really close. But no matter what happened in the vote, the Republicans had huge majorities of the seats in the legislature because they'd rigged these maps. And they made the legislative elections essentially irrelevant to how seats would be allocated in the legislature. So, and they were able to then – I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to clarify a couple of things here, because you threw out a whole bunch of information. I just want to break it down a little bit. You talked about that from 2012 and 2020, you talked about the vote total. Sometimes the vote total would be majority Republican. Sometimes it was majority Democratic Party. By that, you meant the total statewide vote, as opposed to any particular legislative Senate or Assembly district, right?
Well, I mean both, Mark. So, you know, if you draw these lines in kind of a fair and neutral way, the Democrats would have won a lot more seats in the legislature. They also won the statewide vote in 2012 and again in 2018. It was really close in 2016. In 2014 and 2020, the Republicans won by a little bit more on the statewide vote. So, yes, I mean the statewide vote, but I also mean any reasonable way that you would cut the maps up if you just drew them without trying to rig them and trying to make them favor one party or the other. It would have been the case in those years that the Democrats won a majority of seats, at least in two out of those 5 years.
Okay, but they never had a majority control.
They never got that many seats. In fact, they didn't even dip below 60 seats. So 60%, you know, the Democrats never even got 40% of the seats, even in the years where they were getting well over 50% of the vote. Not only were they not getting the majority, they had a super minority of the seats.
Right. And so that's what we're talking about, the effects of gerrymandered maps, right? What you're saying is that during the elections, when you would expect in a purple state that the statewide split would be close to 50-50 in the Assembly and 50-50 in the Senate, it ends up 60% plus for Republican, right?
That's right. That's exactly right.
Okay. So, and that's this result of how the maps were created by then Governor Walker and the Republican Assembly and Senate back in 2011, right?
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
So now let's, during that period of time, tell me, let me just follow up here. We talked about that you're the director of the Fair Elections Project in Wisconsin. Just for our listeners, when did that entity get created? When did you get active, and when did you become the director of the State Fair Elections Project?
So we started doing this work, thanks to State Representative Fred Kessler, then State Representative Fred Kessler, after the 2012 election. So, you know, some of this information about how badly the Republicans had rigged the elections was not public, because they didn't make it public, even though a federal court had ordered them to, and there'd been open records requests filed. You know, they were pretty intransigent there in 2011 and 2012. And so we went into the 2012 election knowing the Republicans had an advantage, but not having the sophisticated data modeling that they'd done in the drawing process. That wasn't public yet. And so we went into the 2012 election. What happened, you know, again, just like in 2010, the majority party, there was a reaction from the public, and the public really voted big Democratic in 2012. But not a single seat essentially exchanged hands in the assembly. The numbers stayed the same. There were a couple of seats that changed hands, but it went from a 60-39 majority for the Republicans before the election, and it was a 60-39 majority for the Republicans after the election, even though the vote had swung hundreds of thousands of votes statewide in favor of the Democrats. And so, you know, it became clear how profound the gerrymander was. And Fred Kessler and a bunch of other folks, including me, got together and said, what are we going to do about this? What are our options so we're not stuck with these maps for 10 years? And that, after a couple of years of work, that resulted in both the filing of a federal lawsuit that was designed to go to the U.S. Supreme Court, which it eventually did, and the creation of the Fair Elections Project, which is really focused on educating the public and organizing people around the issues of gerrymandering and trying to fight for and argue for fair maps.
So here we are, April 18th, 3 days after the Good Friday, or what I call Bad Friday of 2022, when we got these new maps. You know, we've had Passover, when we celebrate the lessons or learn the lessons, think through the lessons of the exodus from slavery and what that meant. And so here we are on the 18th, and we're talking about this April 15th Supreme Court decision and how it's going to impact, you know, these maps going forward. So touching on this federal lawsuit going back earlier before the Supreme Court discussed partisan gerrymandering, what did you learn in that lawsuit and gathering evidence